welcome to another episode of RTFM, the RPG Book Club podcast. I'm Aaron. That's all I got.
Good, great. Welcome, Aaron. I am Max. I guess I don't have much more. I was going to be like, we should just start with a vibe check because I am having a period I'm not supposed to be having, and I hated this book, so I am sassy and prepared to yell about things.
Hell yeah. And our special guest, special co-host today.
Hello.
Who are you? Where can people find you on the internet if you want to be
found? I'm Adira Slattery. You can find me on the internet in all sorts of places. You can find me on Twitter at Adira Slattery. You can find me on itch, adira.itch.io. You can go to adiraslattery.com. Fucking Google me, you cowards. Try and find furry porn of me. It's out there. You can do it.
And you are a game designer.
Yeah.
Want to give you some space for that.
Yeah, I'm a game designer and poet, and I live in Chicago. I recently posted a thing on my itch called Cars.
Yes, Cars is here.
Yeah, which is I refer to it as a hack of Yahtzee.
best game of the world. Best game in the history of games, Yahtzee.
It's a post-apocalypse game about driving around and doing gonzo shit.
Sounds very good. Also, check out Gunfucks.
Yeah.
I feel like that is because that's a somewhat recent title, right, from you?
Yeah. I actually wrote, so here's the funny thing. I wrote Cars before I wrote Gunfucks.
Right, I'd seen you talk about Cars for months, and then you're like, actually, I'm dropping Gunfucks instead.
Yeah, I wrote Gunfucks on a single day on vacation.
Yes.
Mostly just to fuck with Spencer.
So Gunfucks is a Lumen, powered by Lumen game. Spencer's the author of the Lumen system, and Gunfucks is sort of looter shooter, Borderlands esque.
Yeah. Borderlands, Bulletstorm, bullet, whatever. It's very crunchy for a Lumen game. I'm gonna be real. I put a lot of shit in it. Most people, it seems to me, when they want to talk to me about games, they want to talk to me about like feelings and emotions and poetry and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to talk about what the game that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yes,
The opposite of all your, could not be farther from all your like queer romantic and sex lyric games.
Yes.
Well, that's a great segue too, because I was gonna say like, oh, all the time I see people on Reddit say like, I want to play a Borderlands RPG, what should I use? And then if Spencer doesn't get there first, I always like to say, here's Gunfucks. But
Aaron, you have made me legitimately money.
good. But other recommendations that you might find on Reddit, if you want to play a game like Borderlands, or if you want to play like Grim and Gritty Teletubbies, or if you want to play the Three Ninjas teaming D&D up with 5e, Beverly right. Hill Ninjas, right?
Yeah.
Always the top recommended game on Reddit is GURPS. Try GURPS. A short history. GURPS was written by Steve Jackson and published by Steve Jackson Games. Jackson is known for Car Wars, or as I like to call it, The Lesser Cars. Mm-hmm. Or Munchkin is like a game probably people have seen at Spencer's Gifts or whatever. It was first published in 1986. Parts of it were written earlier, though, and published in stuff like The Fantasy Trip. We are mostly going to be looking at the third edition today, which came out in 1988. Mm-hmm. Some fun facts. Steve Jackson is not Steve Jackson of Games Workshop in the UK. There are two Steve Jacksons in game design. And another fun fact is that Steve Jackson Games was raided by the United States Secret Service in 1990 because one of their game designers also moderated a bulletin board that had leaked proprietary 911 emergency call technology. And so this game designer, Lloyd Blankenship, listed in the credits page for GURPS Cyberpunk, unsolicited comments, the United States Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Let's GURP. We're GURPing.
I did not know that fact. That's a fun fact. There's also, you can get, like, licensed, you can get, what I think really is really funny about GURPS, because I got, we did third edition because I found a secondhand copy of third edition in, like, the local game store, and they had some of the other GURPS games, because there's, like, GURPS every possible game and or genre you could ever think of, and what's really funny is things that are, like, the GURPS version of another game, like, they also had, and I didn't buy it because I was convinced that I would hate it as much as I hated reading other World of Darkness games, but they had GURPS Vampire the Masquerade, and I was like, why why does this exist?
Have you read Monty Cook's World of Darkness D20?
No.
What a word salad.
why does this exist?
Yeah, have me on for that one.
Amazing. So yeah, GURPS stands for Generic Universal Role-Playing System. It's made to be a game system that you can do anything in. You can play fantasy, you can play sci-fi, you can be a fucking cop. Don't do that.
They really actually have a lot of support for you being a cop, though. It's very well positioned to play Cop Simulator.
You start with four attributes: strength, dex, IQ, health. Often you're rolling 3d6 to try to roll under that stat. Penalties lower the skill, making it harder. And you make your characters with points. You start with a certain number of points, usually 100, and you buy strength and dex, and then you also buy skills, and you buy advantages, like, you know, being able to use magic. Is that a good basic outline?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's, you get a bucket of points, and you slap them all together, and you end up with a character.
So
after 700 million different steps, right. The first page of this book is like, you only need to know three rules because there are three kinds of roles in GURPS, right? Which is great. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love only needing to find three rules. And then there's 250 pages of wall-to-wall text of supplemental rules on those rules.
And they missed, very crucially, there had to be an errata to add in more information about the freight handling skill. I'm not even joking. I could talk about freight handling for a long time. Want to talk about freight handling?
Yes. So when we first started this podcast, you were like, I want to do GURPS. And so I assume you have had experience with the game.
Oh, yeah. So I first played GURPS in college. It wasn't the first time that I had, like, read GURPS. I first read GURPS when I was much younger, but I couldn't get any of my friends to play it with me. We were mostly playing D&D, and I got them to play some Risus, and also the Cortex Firefly game when that came out. I played a fair amount of GURPS in college, mostly run, all the games were run by these two guys, one of which had never read the GURPS book before.
Had he read any GURPS book, or just had not read a single GURPS book?
He knew how to role play, and he'd run a lot of other role playing games, and but yeah, he didn't know the rules to GURPS. He sort of learned over time. It was mostly the other guy, Eric. It was a good sort of like comedy duo, like the sort of like the short one with glasses who knows all the rules and the tall, lanky British one. Yeah. That led to me playing more GURPS with, friends outside of college and lots of different GURPS shit. Yeah, I GURPSed it up for years. I don't think GURPS is a good game.
Let's get that out of the way early on.
Yeah. But I do like it. I am a known GURPS liker.
So were you playing like Homebrew Worlds? Were you using supplements? Was it
realistic? Yeah. So there's this fabulous little program for GURPS 4th edition that lets you build characters really easily, which I actually have downloaded on my computer right now because I was just running some GURPS for some people.
Amazing.
Kind of as a threat, I was running this GURPS.
I would be afraid.
Yeah. So basically, we would just sort of use whatever stuff from whatever book we could find, just slap it all together. There are a number of really great little weird things you can do in GURPS, especially in 4th edition, just because it's much more streamlined than 3rd. It's still bloated and terrible, but it's more streamlined. we didn't really do any like officially licensed worlds or things like that, but I mean, we stole stuff from them all the time. GURPS Supers has a lot of great stuff to steal, regardless if you're playing a superhero game. I played a Intrepid Girl Reporter in a like a 1920s sort of mafia game, and I had a perk from the GURPS superhero book called High Heeled Heroine, which let me do shit in high heels.
That's amazing. So yeah. Starting to read this book, I was just like, well, there will at least be some cool evocative stuff. Like, there will be some cool abilities like that one that you mentioned. That is not in this book.
Nope. There will not. Welcome to 3rd edition, baby.
You get stuff like absolute timing. You always know what time it is. Lightning calculator. You can do math pretty quick in your head. And better peripheral vision. Yeah. And I was just like, this does not excite me. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I found this one the hardest one to read because there's so, like, I think I probably, if you said like, okay, we have to play one of your like least favorite games from the podcast, I think I would still pick playing GURPS over some of the other ones that I disliked more because I could see how really like
nice about like it, playing GURPS is that it's like actually really smooth when you play it.
Yeah, that feels apparent. But like reading it is just like, this is the blandest, like, again, most bloated book that just has like zero flavor and kind of zero style and like even zero mechanical interest, right? Like what is in there? There's nothing, like there's just no substance to it. So I could see it playing really smoothly because it is, again, like only having 3 rolls and only needing 3 dice for all those rolls. And like once you're through character creation, which seems like 90% of playing GURPS based on the division of this book, is just making a character because it'll take you 700 years to do all the math associated with getting all of the advantages and disadvantages. But like once you get through that, I'm like, yeah, I could see it being really smooth and entirely dependent on the group you're playing with, how fun it is. But reading it, oh boy.
Yeah. Like, and the examples in the GURPS 3rd edition book are I think the thing that like hits home how terrible and dry this all is. There's a bit where it's talking about like a calculation of like how to figure out how fast your character moves, and it's like, and you have a move score of 6.75, and it's like
right, and then they say like, just mark it as 6, but keep the 6.75 because that might be used to break initiative ties. And it's just like, I don't want fractions and decimal points in my role-playing games.
They cut the fractions from 4th edition.
Okay, good.
Did they? Okay, so in 4th edition, because one other thing that I found, I don't love, I think I don't love the central conceit of you get a barrel of points to put towards making your character. And so like that whole, so much of this book being about character creation, that like right off the bat, I was like, this just seems like complicated math, because at the very least, if you're going to give me a bucket of points, just make everything worth like the same, like just make the points. I don't need 100 points and for some things to be worth 1 point and some things to be worth 1.5 times 3.6 points and then other things to be worth 27 points. Like, it's just, there's so much of it that, like, when I got to the, even just the ability scores and the idea that, like, it just is increasingly, I get the reason you would, like, make it increasingly more expensive or whatever. But just give me left points and make every ability score worth either its value or just one. Just one would be nice. Point per thing would be great.
GURPS 4th edition sort of fixes that, in that, like, ability scores are worth, like, 10 points or 20 points for each level and things like that. And skills are 1, 2, 4, 8, 12. But, like, you've still got, like, perks and quirks, which are 1 point, and you're, like... 4th edition adds talents, which is a sort of a skill and sort of an advantage. And
yes, what I need is more places, more small buckets to put my big bucket, to allot my big bucket to. That's what this game needs.
Yeah, and I mean, it simplifies the prerequisite process greatly from 3rd edition, but also adds a second prerequisite process when it talks about things like train from a master and stuff like that, which is an advantage in GURPS 4th edition, about, you know, the scene in Batman Begins, where he's, like, training with Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah.
It's just an advantage for that represents that. Which is silly.
The thing about skills, so, like, okay, so there are many places you can put all your points when you're doing a character creation. You have your stats, and then you have your advantages mm-hmm. and disadvantages, mm-hmm. And then you have a bunch of skills. You can also put them into your appearance, and you can use them to change your wealth and status, should you so choose, which both of those sound like they could have been classified as advantages or disadvantages, just from the outset.
And they are classified as advantages and disadvantages in 4th edition, but they're in separate chapters still.
Like, they functionally are all the same. That's the thing. I'm like, you have three central rules. Things just change. You change the roles in certain ways. They're kind of, they could all just be, like, even skills could just be advantages and disadvantages. Like, this could just all be one bucket of stuff. Well, but yeah, then you wouldn't be able to say how difficult the skills are and what requirements they have for those. So, like, the requirements that were mentioned is, like, the point cost is more if they're classified as hard skills. Skills can be average.
Yeah, hard, so every like single skill in GURPS is based off of like a specific relationship to one of the main attributes, which determines where you start counting your ranks from. This sounds insane.
We're in the weeds. Yeah, we're just like blinded this is the whole book, in a though. Swamp, being bit by mosquitoes, trying to figure out these rules.
And if you don't have ranks in a specific skill, then you generally go to a default, which you're looking at like a -4 or -6 to whatever underlying attribute the skill is usually based off of. Because GURPS is also roll low, which a lot of people freak out about.
I think a lot of these problems stem from GURPS' commitment to realism, or like its specific idea of realism.
Yes, its specific idea of realism is correct. Third edition, notably, all characters are heterosexual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All of them. Because sex appeal is very important in this game, which only works on the opposite sex.
Yes. There are two genders, and it's the same as sex, and everyone's heterosexual.
And sex appeal is a skill that reads a lot like pickup artistry.
Yes.
It's real sketch. real big ick on that one.
But then GURPS also has my favorite skill, which is freight handling.
Yes, sorry, we got distracted. please tell us about freight handling.
Okay, so to talk about freight handling... we need to first talk about tech levels. So okay, one of the things that Max didn't mention that you can buy and sell down for your individual character as relates to the world that you're in is how much access to technology your character has. And based off of the tech level of your character, it changes what certain sorts of skills are and aren't available to you. Which also got streamlined in 4th edition. Certain changes, certain skills just immediately get replaced at higher tech levels. And one of those skills is the packing skill. Packing is on the first page of skills. It's specifically about a packing, like the pack on the back of an animal. Like you're a cowboy and you're packing your horse or something.
Or I'm in the self-checkout line at the grocery store and I'm going to fit it all in one bag because I'm not paying those bag charges.
No. That's not the skill for that.
Oh, shit.
This packing is the skill for putting stuff on a horse. There is no skill for putting things in grocery bags. That's just a dex roll. Now, at higher tech levels, packing is removed. Once technology gets sufficiently advanced, no one knows how to put things on animals. And
you have to take the horse girl advantage to take packing at a high tech level.
And it is now replaced with freight handling. Now, the difference between freight handling and packing is that packing describes you, the character, putting stuff onto an animal. Freight handling is the skill of overseeing a group of laborers who handle freight.
So you replace the donkey with people.
No, because you don't put the stuff... specifically only foremans need to have this skill.
Yes.
If you're a laborer packing a truck, you don't need to.
Because that's dex again. That's like being in the self-checkout.
Yeah. So then, why does packing exist?
Yeah, presumably.
You gotta know those horse muscles and know where the load can go.
But you have to know the same thing in different sorts of trucks and things? Packing stuff is a lot more complicated than just a single, like...
I mean...
And also, the game doesn't actually... The 3rd edition game doesn't actually tell you what freight handling does. There's no specific entry for freight handling. Freight handling is just mentioned that that's what packing turns into. And in errata to the 3rd edition book, they added some things which included that freight handling is not actually about handling freight.
Also, freight handling easier than packing.
Yes.
Importantly.
Yes.
It's also an easier, because every skill has this, like, the stat it goes with and then the difficulty. And packing is a hard skill. It is hard to put.
Yep.
Which means you'd have to spend a lot of points to get really good at putting stuff on your horse.
Yeah. But being a boss is very easy. Because
they don't
contribute anything to society.
That's the true, what do they call it when they say, like, people at McDonald's don't know, that's a low, how do they insult people that do hard jobs? What do they call those jobs?
Low skill workers?
Is that it? But and the truth is that it's overseers and foremen that are the low skill workers.
Yeah.
I've tried to put a backpack on a small dog. It's very hard. I have asked someone to bring me something from the kitchen. It's been much easier. And so in that sense, GURPS is realistic. Like you say this stuff and I'm like, well, I want to play a game about moving stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But to play that game, I have to go through GURPS and like rip out half of it and highlight another half of it.
So a lot of the proponents of GURPS would tell you that GURPS wants you to do that. That the GURPS book says, well, you don't need to use all of these things. I'm just putting all of this stuff here. If you don't want to have pickaxes get stuck when they stab into people, which there's an entire sidebar about, you don't need to have it happen. But the game really doesn't reinforce that toolbox mentality that it actually thinks that it's putting out, you know?
Right. There's such tension between, because it does say the GM should know the rules thoroughly. Like, that's a direct quote. But then that's creates this tension with only use the rules you want. And then it's like, here are tons of rules. But then there's also a specific quote that says, you occasionally don't have to use the dice at all. And then it's just like, it feels to me like the difference between if someone just brings me a nice gift, even just like a good piece of food, or if they bring me to like just a pile of things that I can't even discern what's in the pile. And they're like, there's some good stuff in there. I've brought you to this pile to choose your gift. You do have to dig into this. You know, there might be food in there. There might be something you want. There, I swear there's some valuable stuff in there, but you do have to burrow into this pile of undiscernible garbage. And I just, I did, like, as a topic for this episode, I did just want to have, like, generic games. What's the point? So maybe we're getting to that now. It's just, yeah. Like, I get the drive, especially if you're, like, a young person trying to codify and understand the world, to go, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out the rules to the world and set them down in a book. But it doesn't feel good to read.
Yeah, I mean the idea behind generic games is to have a simple and easily agreed upon sort of framework for like any sort of like progression of like a role playing activity, right? Because like if someone knows a generic game, then the theory is that they're more likely, like if someone knows Fate, well then they're more likely to play in just sort of any Fate game.
Which right. Maybe explains like the proliferation of D&D 5e stuff. Of,
I was just going to talk about D&D.
Oh, yeah. See, yes. Please go ahead.
And I was going to say, I think that is disproven by D&D because the D20 system never went anywhere in comparison to Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, right? I think thinking of a system purely as the rules on a page is limiting ourselves, you know? I think system also includes like marketing and play culture and stuff like that.
Right. And you can buy a Beholder plushie.
Yeah, yeah. And the like brand of D&D, especially when it comes to things like the open game license and like D20 Modern and D20 Past, D20 Apoc, like all of those. Things that were stuff Wizards put out in the 3.5 era, like was them trying to and then successfully like becoming a hegemony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I think, like, to this day, I feel like I'm the only person I've ever met who actually played D20 Modern. Like, I played in a D20 Modern campaign for quite a long time because I was a 3.5 person, right?
And so, I played D20 Modern. I ran a D20 Apocalypse game for a bit.
And, like, I get it. Once you've invested, invested, because those games require so much investment, that, yes. Like, once you've put in that investment, backtracking to what else can I do with this knowledge that I'm acquired totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Starting flavorless does not make sense to me, right? Like, I can totally get a, which is probably not how people actually discovered GURPS either. They probably still had a person is running a GURPS game. It's probably stylized. It's probably a fantasy or sci-fi or whatever. And now you know GURPS, so go forth and play your other GURPS or whatnot. GURPS,
especially the earlier editions, is a fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
man-to-man combat. Yeah, spells. Man-to-man combat was the first official GURPS release, and it was man-to-man : fantasy combat, which I feel like I want to take that cover and make a totally different game. Exactly. Yeah,
that's a porno for sure.
Yeah.
That porno I'm into much more than the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. Like, I do get it. It's interesting because there's this, like, I'm so against generic games. Personally, I'm so uninterested in playing a generic game. One, because I don't have 10 million years to prep a game, right? Like, what GURPS takes as the GM and what, like, a generic game takes as the GM is much more. And lots of people love that. They're like, I can make whatever I want out of this system, and therefore I get to, like, homebrew and write and do all this stuff. I get to make my own game out of this game, which is a thing that right out the get-go I don't like, but I love an SRT of games I've already played that goes like I do. It's like Lumen. I made a Lumen game. Everybody here has made a Lumen game.
Yeah.
Lumen is a generic game system, but that's like
the difference.
There's something different.
The difference between Lumen and GURPS, right, is that the Lumen
300 SRT pages, give or take. Yeah.
But also the Lumen SRT that Spencer wrote, like, tells you how to write a Lumen game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, GURPS doesn't tell you how, like so many games in want to in their GM sections tell you how to do the design process that, like, it's asking you to do. Because, like, most generic games require at least one person at the table to be a game designer.
Yeah.
And, like, I enjoy that because I am a game designer. Both of my partners are game designers. Like, we can get a lot of fun out of generic games, but that's because we like doing that.
Well, and I think it would be different if this was a toolkit, right? Like, nobody's playing Lumen the game. People are playing games made with Lumen, right? Yeah. And that's, like, very different than saying I'm playing GURPS versus I'm playing this game, this, like, you know, apocalypse game built by GURPS. Those are very different sales pitches.
Yeah, because if you're playing an apocalypse game built by GURPS, you should just play Fallout.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or you should play After the Bomb, the...
Well, I mean, I almost did GURPS when I made After the Bomb. So Fallout was going to be a licensed GURPS game, which I assume is what Adira, like, that's why it came up.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned
it. But then they, like, couldn't get the license or something, but then it's still, I mean, it tracks. You can see the differences. And so when I wanted to make a Fallout game, I was like, am I going to do GURPS? And then, of course, I did not, because I looked at GURPS and I thought, too much work.
I don't really understand the theory behind, like, using GURPS for, like, most sort of published gamey sort of things, like unlike any, like it's the difference between, like, GURPS and Fate, you know.
We have not talked about Fate. Have only read, like, the tiniest bit about Fate. I was going to bring that up because you now see, you know, I want to run this game. I'm on Reddit. I'm going to ask about it. And the responses are GURPS, Fate, Cypher, and Savage Worlds.
And D&D. D&D still makes it into literally every list. But yes, every guy on the internet is like, you can do that in either fill in the blank, GURPS, Fate.
People shouldn't use Savage Worlds because it's weird and bad. People shouldn't use... And also just, like... The naming of it just rubs me the wrong way. Fate, of those four, is the only one that I think is actually defensible as a thing to suggest to people.
I love
it's much
this.
Simpler.
Yeah. I have told people to run something in GURPS before. But I don't necessarily think that that should be defended.
I feel like it's sort of a curse that an old crone on the corner would tell someone as start to fall to their own pride. As just sort of like, I hope you run this game in GURPS.
Yeah, I legitimately think GURPS is really only good at one thing, as far as like if you wanted to put in time to learn GURPS, this would perhaps be the only reason, and that's to run a Supers game. Just because, like, there's so much shit in it. And so if you're a person who loves crunch and wants to play superheroes, it's probably the best way to do it. Because most of the other better superhero games don't have as much crunch as GURPS. So if that's what you're looking for. Yeah. So Fate, the first thing that I actually was ever technically paid to write was a Fate thing. It was for Fate Codex Volume 3 or 4, something like that. Didn't end up getting published till many years later, 'cause they sacked the whole project. beforehand, and then I got a email years later being like, hey, we're gonna do this thing, and I'm like, great, I'm a different gender now.
Do you want to give just like a high short, I mean, as I have not read Fate and Max hasn't,
I've read one version of Fate, but I can not, one of my I have a couple problems with Fate, again, just generic core system things, but like there are many versions of Fate. They seem very different from one another, and I will never, and I will never keep them. Like, that is a stupid naming thing that they should not have done.
A lot of the versions of Fate are very different from each other, especially when you get into early Fate and you get into Fudge and you get into things like Fate Light and Super Simple Fate. The reason that I think Fate is like a sort of like defensible generic system is because I do find that the Fate books do a good job of teaching, like the modern ones, that is, do a good job of like teaching players how to game design within that system.
Because they've actually, like, they're like, this is a toolkit, here is a toolkit that we are giving you so that you can go and make your own games.
Yeah,
which is very important. It's a very important framing, considering that's what all of them are trying to do.
Yeah, and I really think Fate's kind of the only one that succeeds in it, which is interesting because I also, I don't really ever hear people refer to Fate as that very much, you know? Like a lot of GURPS fans will refer to GURPS like this, in this very defensible way. I said it in this very indefensible way.
Important caveat. We've issued an errata.
I should have mentioned freight handling. And it's just, I don't.
I think for me, it's just like, there are, it's kind of like reading books on some level for me. I think this is how I've like started.
I can't wait for the explanation of this.
This is where I've started to get with my games, I think. There are so many brilliant people making so many brilliant and unique and weird little games. I do not want a generic catch-all. The last thing that I want in my entertainment experiences is for it to be generic, right? And that's the, like, I as a person who, this might, in my mind, Aaron is more likely to like a generic system than I am. Because we've had conversations.
I'm being attacked.
You are. No, because we've had conversations about how, like, system doesn't hugely matter to you. Whereas, like, I really like geeking out on mechanics and system stuff. Like, that's, like, I, that's where I kind of where I like designing. And not that, like, it doesn't matter at all to you. But I think we've positioned ourselves on opposite sides of that importance divide. And so, like, like, I am somebody who really genuinely thinks that systems, like, can, like, not make or break a game, but the point of them is to scaffold the kind of game you want to play. And if they're not, and they, like, different systems will do that better for the kind of game you want to play than other systems. And that is very important to me. And so the idea that you can have a catch-all is, I'm like, yeah, you can have a catch-all if your base goal is, I want, I mean, this, maybe this is not a fully formed thought. I am making this up as I go. But like, if what your base sell is I want to tell a collaborative story, you could have a generic system for a story that goes across genre, right? I want to tell a story, and today I want it to be fantasy, and next week I want it to be post-apocalyptic, and the week after that I want to do horror. But my goal is just for us to have some like base loose tools to kind of bounce stuff off of one another to tell this story. But that's not all role-playing games to me. Like, there are a lot, like, I want my games to span loosey-goosey, we're all just chatting, to almost a board game. I like things across that entire spectrum, right? And, like, I have been known to like a miniatures game, because I have been known to enjoy tactics, and you can't do a generic tactic. These generic games often are not satisfying when you're getting into like tactical strategies, because they're too rules light. And so I'm actually just like, all I'm saying is I'm strongly on team system matter, and therefore I don't like a system that claims that it can do anything, because it's a lie.
One of the interesting things about your generic games is that I agree with it, that the idea of, like, you have a really simple generic game, why the fuck are you even, why does this need to exist? Just tell a story with your friends. Like, people have been telling a story for thousands of years, you can just do it. Come on, coward.
tell a story with your friend.
Yeah.
Hold hands.
But, like, when you talked about tactical stuff and things like that, GURPS wants to include that tactical stuff.
Yes.
So I was playing a GURPS superhero game. We were all, the shtick of the game was that we were all teenage girls. I could teleport and I had a Glock.
that is.
And, So I bought my teleporting up to a certain level that I could use it as an active defense, which meant that if people were trying to attack me, I could roll my teleportation skill instead of, like, trying to dodge or something. It made certain tactical things very interesting because, like, my character was basically unkillable because of that. My only method of interacting with the opponent was to shoot them with a gun, which is a bit more violent than perhaps a teenage girl superhero should be doing, for, you know, the milieu of the genre. Very few masks characters run around being like, here's my Glock.
That's actually, that is a supplemental move in one of the books they wrote, is just gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were, like, a braver host, I would be like, let's write the mask gun move right now. But I don't want to do that. I'm not in the right headspace. I just drank a high ABV White Claw, so I'm just...
No, do it. Come on. Fuck you.
Okay, I feel like if you're writing a Glock move,
yeah,
someone gets hurt no matter what you roll. Like, of course, can't just be... Yes. It has to be violent and dangerous. It has the messy tag.
So you're rolling plus danger, I assume.
I mean, yeah. Again, this is where I'm like, maybe system doesn't matter. I don't care what you fucking roll. I just know that someone's going to get shot because I hate guns. And if I'm writing a move about them, I want it to be about how dangerous they are.
Okay, so I mean, so
on a six
fail,
minus, right.
On a six minus, you get shot.
No, on a six minus, whoever you care about the most gets shot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You have to pick someone love... who has influence over you or something like that, and then you shoot them. Or
I haven't played masks, so I can only add flavor. I can't add mechanical help here.
And then 7 plus pick 1, 10 plus pick 2, that's usually easy because I'm going to come up with different options. You shoot the person, you don't feel bad about your actions.
Right. You don't leave fingerprints on the gun.
You don't shoot any bystanders.
What if it's just a list of only bad things, and then the one you shoot your friend, and you get to pick you only get to pick one if you get over 12. Otherwise, you have to pick more than one. You shoot your target, but also these terrible things happen.
I think is our first live game design that we've done on the podcast.
It is.
And I'm like both happy and sad that it's this kind of disgusting process.
That it's the mask's gun move? Yeah.
Just wait until we read the Guns RPG. Isn't there? I'm sure there's a Guns RPG. We'll just
there's actually there's a game called Gunfucks. You can get it on Adira.ish.io.
Yeah. Adira.ish.io / Gunfucks, and that's fucks spelled FUCKS.
Unlike cars, which is spelled with a Z.
Yes.
Or a Z for our
spelled,
Canadian.
FUCKARZ.
It would have been really great if you had released Gunfucks and then Fuck Cars and then all games from here on out.
Yeah, so I was joking about doing a vulgarity trio for a little bit. just all games with swear words in the names.
Yes.
but I didn't want to change the name of, from Cars to have a swear word. I liked the name. And Cars would have been the second game of the Vulgarity Trio. The third game would have been Super Fucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because you gotta have superheroes.
Where are we at? What are we doing?
Should we talk about GURPS, maybe?
I'm having a great time. I don't want to distract from it, but I just want to make sure that we're not like...
Can I talk about my least favorite skill?
Yes. Yeah.
Not even my least favorite skill. Can I talk about the skill? So every skill has a difficulty, and as I was reading this, I got to the part where running is hard, but using a whip is average. And I just...
I think as... I could wound someone with a whip. That tracks for me, is all I'm saying. I hate running.
Have you ever tried to crack a whip? I'm willing to bet that Adira... I always thought Adira was going to say yes to this. I
was born in Texas. Well,
I have tried to crack a whip.
Yes, we've all cracked whips here.
It's so much harder than running.
Yeah. No,
it's so much harder.
I'm not very good at running either. Like, I'm a fat bitch.
Yeah, same.
But cracking a whip is harder.
But I think it's easier to wound someone with a whip than to crack a whip.
But whips are like also just like guns. Like, it might be easier to wound someone,
whips
but the
are
chance
just
that
like
that,
guns. Yes.
But the chances that that someone is yourself is very high.
Yeah,
extremely high. Mm. Also, like, computer programming easier than cracking a whip. In fact, there's just many of these that it was like the whips being average really struck me as not fair to whips.
Yeah,
just not at all. Especially in this, the year 2022, in the year fucking 1816 or whatever.
Part of how GURPS 3rd edition tries to justify that is that certain skills get exponentially more expensive the higher ranks you go.
That makes sense.
And whips is one of those.
So like to be an average runner is pretty easy. To be a very good runner is a bit harder. To be an average whipper is something. To be the expert whippist.
Now, the problem is that to be an average whipper is still easier than to be an average runner.
Right, because everyone can whip a whip.
Yeah, yeah. Just everyone can whip whips, right?
I've been to kink camp where they try and teach people how to whip whips, which I realize might be a different context than the Texas context. Significantly.
That's the only
context
I've ever tried to whip a whip in.
Yeah, and watching 10 people try to whip a whip at once, as opposed to being like, can you run across this football field or whatever?
Yeah.
Impossible. I would rather whip a whip for half an hour than try to run 100 yards.
I mean, same. I'm not saying I obviously have a preference for one of these over the other. But
I'm starting a new school revolution game system called Baseline Whips.
Great. Nice.
And it's just a conversation of...
Well, here's the question. What are the mechanics for being a sub in Whip Fucks?
Right, so we're not going to have... Unlike GURPS that only has two genders and two sexualities,
this
we're
book only
going to have
Whip
Fucks
plus
and
whips.
Whip Fucked. Right.
Nice, cool. As the Whip Fucked, that is very important to me.
We need Whip Fucked representation in more games.
Yeah.
We are getting... This is like...
Okay, but if I was more attached to making a shitpost game, would it just be GURPS kink? Like, would it just be GURPS BDSM the game?
Oh, wow. It just seems...
They're both four letters.
To me, the more realistic and precise you get in the way that GURPS imagines realism and precision, the more problematic you are.
Oh my god, it would be horrible. I also would only joke about making that game and would never actually make that game because my central feeling about GURPS was that I was so mad about a game existing that the whole concept is how do we quantify and codify everything about people, and then how do we how do we make different values to every single one of those points, right?
Yeah, it was like, how do we take it? Which of them are bad?
Yeah, which of them are good or bad, and which ones are worse than the other, and which ones are better than the other? Because, like, the advantage and disadvantage is just how do we take everything about human behavior and codify it and then give it some kind of value? And that's just fucked up to begin with, which I realize is on some level a bit of every role-playing game.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ableism and racism that's baked into GURPS.
Absolutely.
So much.
That's, like, not baked into, like, even just your random dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And, like, it's different to say here, like, you know, we chat about this a little bit with Gamma World and Bad Dual Brain, but but, like, it's also different to say here are a bunch of qualities that you can have your character have versus this quality is inherently negative and it's costs this much more or gives you this much more of a bonus because of how negative it is. Like, it's a really specific quantifying of everything that is just terrible. And also is like, I don't believe this system would be very adaptable to many other to many kinds of games because it's just like Western value systems, right? Like, there's so many things that couldn't even be touched with it because of that inherent baked-in-ness.
I don't think that GURPS would stand up to any sort of, like, rigorous critique from any sort of, like, social sciences model or, like, feminist theory or, I mean, obviously not queer theory.
I sent Aaron a picture when I was reading it that just said, I hate GURPS, and it's the languages section. Because hard to learn is Navajo or any other language based on concept different from, I'm air quoting, ordinary human speech. And I was like, get fucked, game.
Yeah,
just get fucked racist. Right into the fucking ocean with you.
Yeah.
So bad. There's little tidbits like that everywhere. Yeah. Like, you're like, I'm sure I missed a bunch because I got to like 60% through the book and I was like, nope, I'm not reading the rest of this.
There's a whole look section at the headers. On slavery and it's just like, it's bad. There's
GURPS
no reason.
Edition is better, but it's...
I guess that's something?
Yep, that's mark? The refrain. GURPS 4th edition is better, but it's still GURPS.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just like a central design idea that was always going to fail, right? Yes. Like, there's no, you can't do that without imparting it with all of your biases.
Yeah.
It's like it is just like, you can't actually be neutral, right? Like, that's not actually possible. And this game's like central, like, political belief is that there is a neutral truth. Mm-hmm. And that's just like so messed.
And it's basically able cis white man.
Yeah.
Steve Jackson.
The 1980s America.
Right. Do we want to try to pull out of this kind of negativity, or is this where we want to leave it? Which I mean, I don't mean that as like a, we should try. I think this is where it's a good place to settle on GURPS.
Yeah. So to me, I think part of the reason why we kept like having wonderful tangents away from GURPS and being mean to GURPS and things like that is because the game is bad.
Yeah.
And
be mean to GURPS.
Yeah, I enjoy lots of bad media, unfortunately, some GURPS is one of them.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, we've been reading a bunch of old books, and they are all varying degrees of bad.
Yeah,
I think that, like, you know, and also like the ways in which they're bad is. When we're not talking about like the all of the ways in which they're racist or whatever, like when we look at mechanical badness is often something that it is easy to see now that we have literally every game that could possibly exist in the world, right? Like when we have we have so much exposure and there's been so many developments, it's way easy to look at GURPS and be like, GURPS is a miserably designed game. But, like, also a lot of us were playing pretty shitty games in that period because those are the games that exist. And they had to exist for us to get to the level of understanding of game design that we current have, right?
I used to play so much Masquerade. That game is racist as fuck.
Werewolf was going to be one of the early games we read for this, and then Max started it and was like, too racist. I refuse to read this for the podcast.
It's too racist to read. It's too racist to talk about. Like, it just, it's just racism the game. I can't do it. Yeah, and, like, even on, like, a, you know, like, there's those levels that all of those games are terrible about, and then there is the mechanical levels that many of them are also terrible about, and all of that is much easier in to identify in 2022 when we have beautiful, elegant designed games in the world.
Yeah.
From different people. One of my least favorite things, just if while we're being mean to GURPS, this and this on
let's get the shooting crackers phase.
Critical hits move.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that your critical hit number changes based on your stats makes me want to die. The idea that you're like, yeah, if you have this stat, it's a fucking 16 to 20 or a 7 to, like, it just, I don't, because the stats are kind of silly to begin with, I don't want a moving critical hit. I want to roll one fabulous single 20 every 6 years so that it stays special. And 27 ones in that time period.
Well, it's just one of those, like, threes and fours and things.
Yeah. But it's because it's like a
different experience, you know.
You, all you did was ruin your central role. Like, all you did was tell me there are three central roles, and then you spent the rest of the book ruining them by adding more shit to them.
That's a really good description of GURPS.
There was like 10 seconds when I read that first page where I was like, oh, it's going to be rules light. That's cool. Dreams crushed.
There is a version of GURPS called GURPS Light that is based off of 4th edition.
It's, I actually, so the Hellboy book that I have, Hellboy Source Book and Role Playing Game, is basically GURPS Light supplemented with some kind of genre specific stuff. And it is more digestible than GURPS. It is only like 200 pages. There's some nice art and stuff because it's Hellboy. But I don't know that it saves it. I don't know that it saves the system for me. It is more fun and easier to read than GURPS.
Oh, you want to hear a thing about 4th edition GURPS that you will hate, Max?
Yes. Yes.
So it's two books. The core book is two books. One of the books is just character creation. It's just like 300 pages of character creation.
If you go buy Adira's Games to the total of $300, we will use that money to buy a GURPS character creation book and film its burning.
I shit you not, I just stepped in cat vomit under my desk that I didn't know was there.
The and crone that, has cursed you. May you read GURPS feels, instead.
And that feels like it's so on theme. Like, that it didn't even really register as making this experience less enjoyable than reading fucking GURPS.
Also, that book tricks you. It thinks it's not going, it makes you think it's not going to be only character creation, right? You get the book and you start reading it, and the table of contents includes all of the stuff of the second book.
What the fuck?
No, they what?
They just chopped it.
No, this is terrible. This is like what happened to Game of Thrones.
Yes.
This is the worst. Why? Why would anyone do? I mean, I know, so they can like charge twice as much for the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's why D&D sells three different books.
Yes. Yes, yep. That was one of the big like takeaways from Warhammer the last episode was like, everything you need to play Warhammer is in this frickin' book. Thank God.
Which is not how the Miniatures game works.
Yes, yeah, right.
I used to play competitive Warhammer.
I am not allowed. I'm not allowed to even know how to play Warhammer Miniatures because I like Magic the Gathering, and that is my singular... I need to buy more parts to play this game.
So an interesting thing, actually, is that you can play Warhammer just using GURPS. And you can also play Magic just using GURPS.
Yeah. There's a special Planeswalker advantage. It costs 77 points.
You have to take fat and also depressed or whatever in order to get enough points to...
Yeah, but you can get a discount of 13% off of Planeswalker if you tie to the unstable condition, where based off of your emotions. That's a real GURPS condition, by the way, and it's a real discount.
I hate that GURPS 3rd edition has a disadvantage that's just called unusual background. It's like, we're realistic, we're the most specific game ever. You might have an unusual background. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe getting too angry. We might be done. We might have to end the podcast because I'm too mad.
Well,
Aaron's leaving to make.
Think of burgers. Fluffy little kitties and puppies and bunnies.
You mean GURPS bunnies and burrows?
And the funny little kippies and puppies and bunnies. They're dancing in a field.
Hold on, I have to look at the animals chapter of GURPS 3rd edition to understand this.
If you want to continue to be angry, you could look at the lecherous disadvantage. That one's really bad.
It does get you a discount on your whip skill, though.
Yeah.
Oh, how many disadvantages do each of us have? Just in our regular day lives.
I'm all disadvantages.
Just all of them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can take fat and overweight, but I kind of feel like maybe I should.
I get a surprising amount of points from colorblind based off of how much it actually affects my life.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bad sight, bad temper. What's poor grip? I'm looking at the Hellboy book now. Is my inability to use my podcasting microphone, does that make me primitive? Do I come from a culture of lower tech level?
I think I would, based on this description, be lame. I think.
Woof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that might. Absent-mindedness.
Now here's the question. Do I qualify for the eunuch advantage?
That was the one that really, the second paragraph where it like continues to the top of the page, was. Yeah. I was disgusted. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say it's an advantage? No. I was like, did you just say it was in the advantages section? Because
it's
that would
for me.
That would be great, though. That would be awesome for this book.
Please, I paid character points. Yeah.
Honesty is a mental disadvantage.
Yeah. I have ADHD, so I've got like a million of these. When I'm hit mental disadvantages.
I'm lactose intolerant. I think that's just a quirk, though.
I'm a bully.
Pacifism, also. You are opposed to violence is a mental disadvantage.
Yep.
I might
this
be a megalomaniac.
I thought we were trying to help me not get mad.
We weren't. You were trying to. I was trying
I'm
to
angry.
Get you madder.
That's a disadvantage, isn't it?
I'm with Matt.
I assume.
Yeah.
I would say, based off of their rules, I am a coward. I am extremely careful about my physical well-being. Anytime I am called on to risk physical danger, I must roll against will. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID has made cowards of us all. By which I mean we want to preserve our lives.
Oh, no.
Truthfulness. You hate to tell a lie. Just if you hate to tell a lie, mental disadvantage. I mean, we would have many points.
I love lying. It's pretty fun.
Adira, a bully who loves lying.
I didn't read the... Because also, a lot of them... One of the things that I was like, okay, so if it's not bad enough that you decided to codify and make a value out of everything, you also... One of the three central roles is a reaction role, and lots of disadvantages have... impact the reaction role of how people read you, right? And so, like, not only, like, you're just playing, which is funny because I think they said intolerance is a mental disadvantage, and then I was like, but this is just prejudice simulation. Like, that's all that game is doing by saying, like, oh, you're fat and also lame or whatever. I guess everybody who meets you is going to hate you. Three central mechanics.
Which, like, the 80s.
I gotta be done with GURPS. I gotta un-GURP my heart.
You gotta un-GURP yourself?
Yes.
I gotta go through
an extensive de-GURPing process.
I was gonna ask if it was better in the, like, the genre books, because so much of it is like, this is just trying to be generic and that's stupid and bad.
No, it's not. It's not better in the genre.
I tried to find some access to it. In my notes for this episode, I put, at least there's a spell fail table, because I love a spell fail table.
So here's the thing. I rolled a random character that I was seeking some sort of blessing
from. Oh, you did the
book.
GURPS random character? Why did you
do that? I love to roll random tables. If you know, people who have listened know that we have done that live on podcasts in the past. And it's one of my favorite things in all these books. And I just ended up like a totally average person with brown hair and brown eyes. I'm honest. I got some savoir faire skill, some gambling, some singing. It just was the most. I was not interested. And then I rolled magical aptitude, and I was just like, "Fuck! I got to learn more rules now. I do not want to do this." It made me pull further away from the game. My favorite thing to do with a game.
Is Milk a Toast Man's simulator.
Yes. Very good. Very good point.
It's wild. It's wild for a game to be mostly... I think that is just like contemporary game design affecting our brains, because every time we've read something and then we're like, yeah, I love rolling on random tables, and then we actually roll the tables, it's always like, womp womp. Like, that was me and the sentient sword tables of... original D&D, where I was like, sentient swords, this is so cool, and then I rolled like a sword that did nothing but was like a little lawful or whatever, and I was like, god damn it. Just rolled 6 dice to learn that this sword likes the fucking cops or whatever.
Adira, will you tell us one more time where people can find you online? Will you tell us about a cool game they should go and buy right now, please? So that we can buy a GURPS book.
I've never seen Aaron so defeated. That was it. GURPS broke Aaron.
Aaron, I'm telling you nothing. You have to sit with GURPS forever.
I can't leave this call until you tell me where to find you on the internet.
Okay. So, I'm Adira Slattery. You can find me on the internet by Googling Adira Slattery. I'm available wherever Adira Slatteries are sold. Which is mostly Twitter. A game that you should buy is Salafantastic. fh-stevens.itch.io/salafantastic. This is the most recent game posted on Itch right now.
Oh, I was asking for one of your games.
Yeah, Eat Bug, Have Wet, Enjoy Sit.
We have 2 more episodes in this, quote unquote, we're calling this a season of the podcast being done after 2 episodes after this. We have a Discord. We're going to start running games there. You're welcome to join us. We're going to start reading some newer games, some shorter games. Maybe we'll read the Salamander game.
Probably not, though, but we might. Yeah, new season. We have 2 episodes left. One is... Star Frontiers, right? Next episode, Star Frontiers. Episode after that, we're going to return to Cyberpunk land and read some of the weird Chromebooks, because reading like what they thought future technology in the 80s was is fun. And then we're going to change our format. That's why we're ending the season, because we're going to make upgrades. And by upgrades, I mean we're going to not only read ancient 300-page books that make Aaron and I want to leave games forever. We are going to read things that are good and inspiring by great people, in addition to reading the shitty old books.
Yeah, we're going to alternate. Thank you again, Adira. For real, go buy Adira's games.
Yeah,
they're good. They're actually good, unlike most of the things we talked about this evening.
Thank you both so much. I'm glad
this
to both
really
like
fun.
My it's very nice.
Yeah. I had a very good time recording this episode. Had a very bad time reading GURPS. And it balances out. Characters can get disappointed, injured, sick, or even dead. So it goes. Reality rules.
Whenever the GM determines that an enemy should show up, he must decide how and where he will become involved. If an enemy is very powerful, or if several characters' enemies show up at the same time, the whole adventure may be influenced.
Wonderful.